thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, a online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, TCGPlayer.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com.
Hello and welcome, Monday Night Magicians, to another episode of Monday Night Magic. This is episode 212. That's a lot. In order to celebrate this very special episode, I have two, perhaps three co-hosts with me tonight. Currently sitting around the table with me, I have Conley and Jack. Say hello, Conley.
I don't appreciate you calling me two separate co-hosts. I'm not that large.
Are you sitting on two chairs, though?
Well, I'm sitting on two cushions on my couch.
Then you're kind of close to being two co-hosts. If you need more than one chair or one cushion to support...
I'm laying down. My cushions are like...
Well, that's just kind of hot if you're laying down in podcasts, and that's kind of cool, actually.
I've kind of been on this sleep schedule to where I go to bed around 9 or 10 in the morning and wake up at 8 at night.
What, are you working nights or something?
No, I just been playing Modo, and... Well, I guess technically, yes, I've been working nights since Modo has worked for
Modo,
me.
Modo, okay. So you have a very delayed sleep phase right now.
I've been motoing and what else? Sitting in my house being a bachelor. That's about it.
And the only thing that could make it cooler that you're just kind of sitting there and podcasting is, like, are you sitting, like, laying on your stomach with your chin on your hands and, like, kind of kicking your feet in the air?
No.
Kind of like a 12-year-old girl at a slumber party?
No, I have a pillow.
Where's the pillow?
It's underneath my head. Where would it...
What are you wearing?
Absolutely nothing except for a blanket.
Are you wearing high tops? White high tops?
You mean high heels?
No, like
oh, you literally want me to be
tops.
You literally want me to be a high school girl?
Well, I just want, like,
we're already a Girl Scout.
You are a Girl Scout.
We might have some wife, Dom. This could be bad.
Okay, guys. Eric is not here. Eric is actually on a plane right now, and I know right now he's just writhing in his seat because he can sense me getting way off track.
You didn't even introduce Jack.
Yeah, you didn't.
Jack is also here.
All right, ladies, yeah, I just want to assure you, despite these new changes, I'm still capable of being fully extended.
He's still dressed in burlap all the time. And also here to help keep us, you know, incredibly manly and incredibly depraved, we also have Marcel. So we are working. Marcel's having a little bit of technical difficulties. We are going to get him back on because pretty much everybody loves him. I think they might even like him more than Conley, just judging by the feedback that I've gotten.
Nobody actually likes me, so it's okay.
No, Conley, like, with you, we have the extreme fetish angles about, like, feces and buckets and $20 bills. And with Marcel, we have, like, the smooth, velveteen teddy bear kind of voice.
Teddy bear? I've never associated teddy bears and velveteen voices together.
Have you seen Toy Story 3?
No, not yet.
And then after you watch that movie, you will have that association.
And you will cry the biggest manly tears you've ever cried in your entire life.
Yeah, I actually was tearful to the point where it was starting to obstruct with my 3D glasses.
Especially at the end, where he picks him up one last time.
That was a phenomenal movie.
I was very happy that I was not the only 20-year-old in there, though.
But I'm pretty sure by listening right now, as if they're not already sighing and rolling their eyes, they're saying, hey, let's actually talk about some magic in the first 15 minutes of Monday Night Magic. So we're going to do that. We have a bunch of little magic tidbits, but there's a big elephant sitting in the core of the room, you know, pounding its feet, glaring at me. It's what do you call it when they, like, blow air through their nose really aggressively. Snort. It's snorting at me.
I don't know if that's a snort.
Depends on which end it's coming out of.
If it's an elephant, I think it's like, I don't know what it would be considered.
Trumpeting, maybe? Is it trumpeting at me?
Can we say ejaculate?
Kind of like air ejaculation?
Yeah, but I mean, if we say ejaculate, people think we have the wrong, we're using the wrong term. But in reality, ejaculate just means to force through a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I ejaculate.
Well, it's a show now.
I ejaculate things all the time. Oh, I'm going to ejaculate my key into the door. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
I'm going to ejaculate my cereal into my cereal bowl and ejaculate the toothpaste out of my toothpaste tube.
I'm sure that's not the literal Webster's dictionary definition, by the way, so don't go jumping on the forums and correcting me. I was just shooting that one off the top of the head. I was ejaculating it off the top of the head.
I was saying, also, there's going to be a rash of college essays that are going to get scored very lowly for the next week. All right, guys. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about that big elephant room is we've had the official announcements of the Wizards of the Coast that we have what we heard about before, which is the new extended. So Jack, I know you have lots of thoughts. Conley's going to have lots of thoughts. Marcel's going to have lots of thoughts. Let's just jump right into this. So do you guys want to, or maybe Conley, do you want to summarize what is the big announcement about Extended? It's changing in a big, big way.
Well, basically, Extended has long been the last 7 years' worth of cards. Last year they changed it to where the rotation was different, to where basically instead of rotating once every 4 years or whatever, it would rotate every year just with effectively the same as Standard. But it would still be 7 years' worth of cards, meaning that this year it would Mirrodin would be rotating out, and we would be, you know, from Kamigawa forward for Extended. But they announced instead that it's going to be approximately the last 4 years worth of cards. So we will be Time Spiral forward. So, and no Cold Snap. So basically, Time Spiral, 10th edition, Lorwyn, the whole Lorwyn block, and then everything in Standard. So we're basically just adding two blocks and a core set onto what Standard is. And in addition to that, they went ahead and banned Hypergenesis and Sword of the Meek two stop. Two combo decks in the format, and without getting biased or anything, that is basically the announcement.
And then they, as they point out, the cards that were on the ban list before are now gone because they're not in the sets that are legal.
Well, yeah, they're still banned because they're not in the format.
Exactly. So, I mean, where do you guys want to start with this discussion? I mean, we can maybe just kind of go around the table and get everybody's thoughts. I think this is a very charged topic of discussion. That initially, like everything else in Magic, when these things get posted, people just get, they just go bug crazy. Everybody, just internet rage seethes out of everybody. And this is something where a lot of people want to talk about how this is going to change what decks are good, what decks are bad, and then some people are pissed because they bought cards for Extended, and now they can't use them anymore. And it makes me sad that I can't even use 9th edition in Extended. That just sounds weird to me. 9th edition doesn't seem old.
No, it's not.
So,
but I mean, this is... All right, so basically this is like an entirely new format, so I mean, even calling it Extended sounds weird to me. On top of whatever we discussed now, I did write an article on this for TCG players, so anyone that wants to go kind of look at some of the deck possibilities and whatnot that might evolve and come out of this, might want to go check that out. I was wrong about Dragonstorm. I thought Seething Song was in 10th edition, but apparently it's not. So there was no Seething Song or Rite of Flame, so you'd have to play the mono-red Dragonstorm. But besides that, it's a good read. But yeah, this is I don't think this is the worst decision they've ever made. Like, there have been decisions where I've just been 100% objected to, whereas this one, I'm not completely on that side. I was one of those people that loved Extended, just for the fact that it was a very large card pool, but not, you know, not up to Legacy. And then you could take that large card pool and just build crazy decks and, you know, explore it a little bit deeper. And now it's, you know, basically Standard plus the Standard for the last year and a half. So it's a little more nostalgic, I guess, right away, because you're like, oh, we get to play fairies again, we get to play five color control, or you know, the swans deck, or, you know, things like that. So that's kind of cool, and this seems like it would have been an awesome format in addition to an Extended. So, like, unless they officially come out and announce that they're going to do that overextended format, which is mask block forward with no rotation, then I think that just straight up switching this from Extended is going to be a bad move. I mean, I like the idea of the format by itself, but to get rid of one of the better deck building formats, like, it is true that not people didn't really enjoy old Extended for the fact that, you know, outside of the PTQ season or the Pro Tour time, people didn't really play it. But that's just because, like, I mean, it's not going to top Standard. Like, even Legacy hasn't top Standard as far as popularity is concerned. So, like, you know, people aren't going to, if you have the choice, you sit down, you're like, oh, we can draft, we can play Standard, we can play Vintage, Legacy, or Extended. Which are those that we're going to play? And they're obviously going to pick Standard or Legacy or something like that. And, like, I understand that Wizards is saying, hey, we want more people to be playing Extended. But even with this change, it's not like Extended's going to jump up in popularity so much to where it surpasses Standard or Legacy. Like, it might get a few more players, but I don't think it's going to ever, you know, be more popular than those two formats. So I don't know if this is necessarily the best fix, but, I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day.
What about for you, Jack? I mean, I know you had a lot of thoughts, cards that you were curious about. Give us your Extended diatribe.
All right, well, I think the reasoning behind this was that either A, they've absolutely priced everybody they possibly could out of Standard, so they might as well pimp their other formats, or B, that in order to have a more balanced format, they had to utterly wreck it. Because, I mean, as great as Extended was, and I agree with Conley, like, you just had a great card selection there, and you could just make up something random and run with it. There were a couple of unhealthy decks out there, like Thopter Foundry, and I'm trying to think of the other one, Hypergenesis, arguably. They weren't absolutely over-the-top broken, but they were pretty hard for people who were wanting to break into Extended to fight against. I think their reasoning, to them at least, was sound in making this major change. And in all honesty, this does make it a little bit more approachable for people who especially, like, you know, might miss a year of Standard, and then they come back, and they can't exactly just go back and leap into Standard immediately. They can just go back and play Extended for a little bit. So, in a sense, I guess Wizards is also trying to say, hey, when you go out and spend this much money on these cards, you can make an investment and go ahead and play this other format. I think it's really too early to make any judgment calls like on decks or anything. Everybody's worried about fairies, and I just want to say there's so much hate out there for fairies. I really wish people would go back and reconsider that. I think it's still going to be a tough deck to fight against, but I don't think it's going to be like the premier deck like people think it's going to be. Also, I'm really glad I was not the only one that thought Dragonstorm was coming back. After I realized that Seething Song was not like in the format, oh, I felt silly. But anyways, I think it's going to be very interesting, and only time's really going to tell if this format's going to change anything. I think in a couple of years we might see them actually reverse this decision, and might be for the best, might not. But I really think it's going to be a matter of we need to sit back and wait a little bit and see how this format shakes up and shakes out.
And then, Marcel, what are your thoughts? I know you actually beat us all to the punch and got this on the show notes, and you had some strong feelings about this. So, guys, we kind of went through our initial thoughts on the new extended changes. Do you guys have any thoughts about why this came around? We've heard theories about to make it more accessible to new players, maybe to make this as a more palatable, I guess, pro format for the future. What are your thoughts for why this change is coming now?
I definitely don't think it's for the pro community. Like, we would pretty much play with regardless of what, you know, what's going on. But they claim it's for the new players, like, so more people will play extended and stuff like that. And I guess I can't just strictly disagree with them, because I don't really know their math or their, you know, data and whatnot. But, you know, like, even in my forums, we have had some people come on and say, yeah, this is going to make it easier for me. But then other people come on and say, well, why would I want to play this format? I just bought all these Ravnica duels and these Dark Depths, and now they're all useless. So, like, I can see both sides of it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to have the desired effects that they want, but I can also see where they're trying to come from. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, I don't know exactly if it's going to be as good as they expect it to be. But
and do we know when the first tournaments will be coming out? They're going to have the new extended.
The first tournament is Pro Tour Amsterdam.
Okay.
So and that's about 2 months from now, a little longer, 2.5 months. And yeah, it'll. It'll be interesting. It'll be like, you know, I think it's good, this is good for a pro tour because new formats are kind of fun to build for. And unlike Block, this has at least some cards for it. And it'll be interesting because, you know, everyone's going to be trying out their decks from old, you know, fairies and whatnot. And I think it'll be interesting from that respect. But the PTQ season that'll affect everybody will be at the beginning of the year. So, like, the spring of next year is when the PTQ season will be.
And I was actually browsing through your article that you have up on TCG Player, and you actually mentioned something about potentially using Living End as sort of, some ways, kind of the poor man's replacement for Hypergenesis now that it's gone.
Yeah, people ran Living End even in Extended, and like I don't think they should have banned Hypergenesis. To be honest with you, I don't think it would have been overly broken, especially with fairies being one of the better decks, just because they have things like Thoughtseize and Spellstutter Sprite and Broken Ambitions that are all and Vanillion Click, and all those are really good against it. So I don't think I would have banned the Hypergenesis. I think Thopter Sword would have been too powerful, so I understand that. But yeah, like Living End will definitely see some play. Elves is pretty much dead, and you can play the new school elves, the one with the one that was played in Standard last year, but you can't play the Glimpse of Nature version.
Now, are there any cards you expect? There's already been some speculation on the secondary market for cards. Are there any that you really would say keep an eye out for or hold on to if you have them right now? For the new extended?
Pick up Reflecting Pools. They haven't seen play since they left Standard, but they're going to be huge again. All the fairy stuff, obviously, probably already jumped back up in price, so watch out for that. Swans of Bryn Argyll, I would guess, would go back up a little bit. What else? Like Seismic Assault to go along with that card. I also think there's some sleeper hits that I haven't seen play in quite a while that'll be good. They're only going to be good for this season, really. And so I guess, like, the problem is, so the Pro Tour Scars of Mirrodin won't be out yet, so Time Spiral will be legal. But for the PTQ season, once Scars of Mirrodin released, Time Spiral is gone. So, like, PTQers won't have to play with Tarmogoyfs, whereas we're going to play with Tarmogoyfs. So, like, there's kind of a interesting thing there. I mean, Tarmogoyfs are never going to go down because they see so much play in Legacy and Vintage, and any format they're ever going to make that it has it legal, it's going to see play. So you don't need to get rid of your Tarmogoyfs. But, like, for the Pro Tour, I think things like Core Lash might see some play, whereas for the PTQ season, that won't even be an option. So, I mean, just keep things in mind, like Tezzeret might be pretty insane in this format if Scars of Mirrodin is good. So you might want to pick those up now where they're like $10 or $15, because even if it's not going to be good in Standard, it'll probably be good in this format.
All right. And, Jack, now what are kind of your thoughts? You had some inklings about what might be good. You had a question about Smellstare. What other questions are you thinking about?
Well, now that I realize that Spellsnares rotate out, there goes my question. Well, pretty much, like, I agree with Conley. I mean, all of the old decks from last year that everybody hated, Five Color Control, Fairies, Kithkin, even, arguably, are going to rise back from the dead and cause a lot of new havoc for people. I'm trying to think. This definitely makes that terrible deck I used to play Two Scoops playable again.
Plus, you get to throw your Emrakul underneath your Windburst Kites and then attack with your Spectral Procession.
And that's just hot. Freaking sexy, yeah. I mean, that's awesome. First, I'm going to hit you with my 3-1-1s, and then, oh, what's this? It's Jesus.
And Jesus just gave me an extra turn. He flies and he's indestructible.
Which conveniently puts 18 damage on the table, which kills them the turn after you get your free extra turn.
Totally, yeah. But, I'm kind of thinking that maybe Inquisition of Kozilek will see a lot of play in this format. I'm happy to see that Mono Black might even see a comeback. Other than that, though, I mean, it's still too early to tell, but I'm very excited all the same.
Then, you know, kind of like for, I guess, even for you guys as playing more tournaments, is this something that actually excites you as playing the format, that it's actually going to be this big change up? You have these new decks that you're going to be able to play, or as a pro player, is this just more work?
No, it excites me for the first tournament, because for the first tournament, it'll be a new format. So, like, you know, basically, if Extended happened once a year and it was, like, literally a year apart every time, then I think it would be really fun for us because, you know, you'd be like, you have a full new block in there, an entire other block would have rotated, a core set would be involved, and, like, the format would be significantly different if you played it once a year. But when you play it, you know, like, we just played it, when was it, like, think we played it at Worlds, and then we played it at Austin, and then we're going to be playing it for Amsterdam, and then there was the Pro Tour qualifiers after that. So, like, it's been like 6 months since we've seen, not even 6 months. We played it in Oakland and Houston. We're both Extended, so it's been 2 months since we played Extended, and we're going to be playing it again in another 2 months. So the problem there is Extended is so large that one new set coming out in, you know, in this case, Rise of the Eldrazi, and then a new core set in M11 is not going to change a format that has 7 years worth of cards in it. So, like, if you're playing the format every 4 months, you're basically going to be playing the exact same format as you played before, minus bannings and things like that. So, like, Thopter Depths would still be a good deck, Hypergenesis. I mean, all the exact same decks that were good before are still good. But from a deck builder's perspective, you can attack that and go, okay, well, I know that these decks are good, so let's build a deck to beat that. And I've done that multiple tournaments in a row. I mean, I top eighted in Oakland with the Bandwagon, and then I took like 20th in Houston with the Abyssal Persecutor Ninja deck. And both those were, despite the card pool not changing, I was using cards that people were not using at the time. But from like a non-deck builder perspective, you're basically just going to be playing the same old thing. It's like as if Jund were not in Standard for a year, year and a half. Instead, it was in Standard for 3 years, and you just kept playing the same deck over and over again. So, like, if you remember when, you know, Psychotog and stuff was legal and Extended, like, when that left, that was a pretty big change. But when, like, random little sets leave, it's not going to be a big deal. I think that it's cool that this is a new format for this Pro Tour, because instead of playing the same Extended, we're playing a brand new format, and it's kind of fun to approach it from like that. But I think, I guess this does solve that problem a little bit, because when you lose one set, it's significantly better, or significantly impacts the format, whereas losing one set from the old Extended did not. So I guess that's a good thing, because we'll have an ever-changing Extended. The only thing I'm worried about is that soon it'll be like you're just playing Standard again, like, because eventually the best deck in Standard is just going to be the best deck, period, kind of like when Affinity was around. So, like, if the best deck in standard is just that good, it's going to be the best deck in extended, and then you end up playing standard for an extra 4 months out of the year, and then it's going to be boring. Right now, that's not the case because you do have fairies and five-color control, but like I said, eventually, like maybe Scars of Mirrodin is not that powerful of a set, and Jund is just the best deck, and then we're going to be playing Jund in extended for, you know, another year, year and a half, and then that'll be kind of lame. So, like, I think for right now, it's a good idea, and it's going to work, but give it, you know, 6 months to a year, and the whole thing could mess up. I'm not saying it will, but it could, just because it's so closely related to standard. So, it's definitely exciting and fresh for this Pro Tour. Going forward, we'll have to keep our eye on it, though.
Marcel, share with us your extended thoughts. You are all keyed up about this.
Yes, I was very upset because the morning of the actual announcement, I had bought like 8 Ravnica duels, just thinking that, you know, I wanted to play with them. I was thinking about going extended and that the Mirrodin was actually rotating out, and I was all happy about it. And then all of a sudden, I get this news that I'm not even going to be playing Ravnica anymore, and extended is going to be out. So that really, I was really upset about that. I was furious. But you know, now that I'm looking at it and everything, I'm kind of like on the fence. And I like what their vision is, but I think they went about it the wrong way. I do think extended is a little too deep sometimes for some players. Like too many cards and. Certain cards, when the deck is in, is in, and it's going to be there until, you know, the key cards rotate out. So I think it's a little too stagnant, and so now this might freshen it up and, you know, gives it a more accessible type of format for people to get into. But I was really upset about the way that they went about it. I mean, if you got 2 weeks now, if you spend all this money into an extended deck, and you got 2 weeks now before that deck is obsolete, and then there's, like, no real build-up to this announcement. So it's like people that put their money into the cards, it's like their value is gone. So I feel like this was a bad PR move for Wizards because they're looking into the secondary market. I mean, if they're really big about the reserve list and, you know, they want to maintain the card cost for people. But here's an example where they went into extended and, you know, messed up the player base and messed up the value of cards for a lot of people on a greater scale, you could actually say, because there's more people playing extended than there is in Legacy. So it's like it's a weird thing, I think. And all in all, I mean, I would think it was a bad move, but I think that the new format will be good. I think it'd be better, it'd be more accessible, more people will actually play it. And so I was mad at first, but I actually see the light, and I think it would be a good thing for Magic.
Yeah, and like while I agree that it does suck to the way they end up going about it, there's really no way for them to make this announcement without cards dropping rapidly. Like, they can't be like, well, this is going to happen in 6 months, because like the cards, the values are still going to drop immediately. Because people are going to realize that or whatever. So, like, really, without, like, them doing it a year in advance or something like that, there's really no way for them to make this announcement without cards dropping. And, like, I'm hoping that they're going to come out with this other format. This would, like, this move actually makes it perfect for them to be able to come out with overextended, because now extended and overextended would be significantly different because there's 6 years worth of cards in between or whatever. And if they do that, like, Ravnica Duels will obviously be the focal point of that format, so that'll increase their price again, probably even higher than they are now, probably like 15, 20 apiece. And then on top of that, you know, you get your Dark Depths back and all that stuff. So I'm really hoping that they announce that format, and then, you know, all was kind of made better in the world. And while we're on the topic of Wizards, requests from Wizards, I have another request. This is an open audio letter to Wizards of the Coast.
Otherwise known as a manifesto or verbal threat.
Basically, so this year we've broken Grand Prix records over and over and over and over again. And, you know, with these changes, they're kind of catering to new players, right? They're, you know, they're like, hey, we want new players to be able to play extended, so let's do this change. Hey, we want new players to get the rules better, let's do this change. And I've kind of, like, been fine with all of it. Like, you know, the game is healthier, then so be it, like, if new players come in. But I think it's time that they kind of threw us tournament goers a bone once again. And either – so these are, like, the things I'd like. I would like another Pro Tour back. I don't know if that one's going to happen, but I think it would be awesome. B, I would like some more Grand Prix, but again, I don't know if that's going to happen. But I think a realistic thing is that with these Grand Prix getting so large, it's really ridiculous that you sit down for a 2,000-person tournament and first place gets $3,500. Like – it's almost not worth it at that point. So, like, I think if, like, the tournament is over, I don't know, let's say, like, 1,000 people, that they should really consider doubling the prize pools for Grand Prix, just because, you know, you're getting way more players. Like, the fact that, you know, a few years ago you'd have a 400-person Grand Prix that paid out $10,000, and then they made the change to drop it to $3,500, and you'd still have that same 400-person Grand Prix that paid out $3,500. and now you're having 2,000 person Grand Prix to print out the same thing. It's a little ridiculous. So I would like them to just rethink their pro play structure, their Grand Prix and Pro Tour thing, possibly throw us a bone. Just because, you know, we've sat by patiently and watched as they've done all these changes to promote the game, which is awesome, but they don't really help us in any way.
What would you think if they tried to meet you halfway with something like cheerleaders? Maybe like in like the featured matches or the top eights?
Are
the
they
cheerleaders going to come home with you?
Yeah, are they new cheerleaders like, that you can take home?
Hey, I'm not suggesting that we make this into some sort of odd brothel or something like that. I'm saying, like, professional sports,
you got cheerleaders. Well, Tom, we're not, like, saying that anything, like, adultish is going to happen. They're just going to come home with us.
And have a sandwich. And watch last season of
Buffy. My gosh, man. This is a family show. What are you trying to say?
You haven't seen the last episode of Lost. We have to fix this.
Hey, I'm going to start there. I've never seen any episode of the show. I'm going to watch it all on DVD, so don't ruin it for me.
I watched part of the first season. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to kind of just do it in one big orgy and just have a Lost couple weeks.
Yeah, I went through season 1-5.
Ejaculating DVDs on you?
Oh, because so, I highly recommend the show, yeah. See, I went through season 1-5 via Netflix, the best thing ever, instant stream.
Netflix is a fun, amazing thing. And I was thinking, as you were talking about this, Marcel, about the extended changes, is any part of this, they haven't said this officially, is part of this to make extended a lot more easy to implement in something like Magic the Gathering Online?
I don't think so, because, I mean, extended does get played in online. I see it often. And the card pool, the cards are there, so I don't see it being harder. So I mean,
I said no price-wise, where some of these sets, some of the original MTGO sets are so expensive. I know this the same thing for Paper Magic, but there's a couple cards that are just a huge outlier in MTGO.
Yeah, those are a lot of the older ones. Usually what's in extended right now, the top cards are like Bitter Blossom and like the Chrome Box. That's about it, really. That's like the top. And then all the Planeswalkers in standard right now.
How about for you, Jack? Any kind of final thoughts before we move on to our couple other news bits?
I've pretty much said everything I've got to say on it, but I'm excited. I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting. The only thing I worry about is here in another year or two, what are we going to have to play with when it comes to counterspells? Cancel and Deprive. And to me, that's not cool. Like, I really hope this encourages Wizards to be more creative in their card development pool.
Yeah, it's definitely true, because one of the backstones of Extended is counterspells, and I think it's good there, because unlike Standard, they're not going to dominate a format because there's so many more options, and pretty soon we will be losing all of our counterspells. I think they need to reprint a Mana Leak or something like that, if for nothing else than for Extended purposes, because Once it goes down to lore, when we're back to like Broken Ambitions and Spellstarter Sprite, and Spellstarter Sprite's good, but you know, very restrictive.
I think that might be a big hint at them reprinting it in M11. Actually,
reprinting what?
Mana League.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would love if they reprinted it in M11. I would even if it was just, you know, Rune Snag without the bonus. Like, I would even be fine with that. You know, just always counter unless they pay two. Like, it's not a very amazing card by any stretch of the imagination, but it's at least something.
This calculation would even be nice.
Yeah.
But we'll never see Cyclone in the core set, probably.
That's not true. We'd see Scry.
Yeah, I'd say Scry is much more confusing than Cycling is. If I was
Cycling
a brand
is one of the most simple mechanics. The only thing is it's not very flavorful, and they're kind of going for a flavorful thing for core sets. But, I mean, I would definitely not be surprised if we saw Cycling in core sets.
That would be nice.
You heard it here first. Cycling is going to be an M11. I'm saying it right.
We're going to eat so much ejaculation after this.
Yeah.
You've heard of the rumor mill. We are the baseless speculation rumor mill.
Yeah, that's the title of the show. Just Slippery Karst is in M11. That's all I'll say.
Just Slippery Karst, not the rest of them?
Well, that's just the hint. They'll be like, huh, if that's in there, I bet there's going to be some other cycling cards. And then they listen to the show, and then bam, you got them. Bam, you got them.
We know Wizards tends to drop an ear on us, so maybe they'll take that as a hint.
Yeah, I wish they would drop money and prizes on us, too. But I'm just shooting for the moon.
I like Lamborghinis. I mean, you know, that works for me.
Or even just like a used Pinto. I would take something. I would love to...
As long as the used Pinto didn't have like a giant Magic the Gathering logo down the side.
So I'd love to get my little, like the box of Wizards I get the packs in, but I dump it out, just be like a set of old, really ratty car keys, like in an old leather keychain. I'd look outside and there'd just be this beat up Pinto out there.
No, actually, what they would do is send you the car part by part in vintage Magic deck boxes, and you can reassemble the car in your garage.
This is one of the worst conversations I've ever had the privilege of listening to.
Oh, fine.
Oh, come on.
Fine. Well, you read the next Magic item that's so much better than my talk about a free pick.
Can I note something really quick about these announcements? Sure. They were like the worst timing of all time. So I sit down and I spend like a week writing this huge article. It's like 3,800 words, like really in depth. I was trying to, you know, revise it. I was trying to approach the idea of winning and the idea of mindset from like a different standpoint than some of the other writers. And I like wrote this huge article, and some people don't get it, and that's fine because it's not necessarily for everyone. But for the people that do get it, they really liked it. Like even like Luis, after editing it, he said he really liked it and learned a lot from it and things like that. But I sit down, and then literally as my article goes up, these announcement goes up, and I got like 24 comments or something. I mean, that's fine. It's not, but it's not nearly what I normally get, and it just kind of bummed me out that I spent all this.
You just got kind of caught on the side.
Yeah,
the side
just got overshadowed, and I was a little bummed out. But oh well.
Can you ever like re-release an article saying like, hey, obviously, you know, like, hey, the World Cup and they changed extended is happening right now. Maybe I should bring this article out a little bit later.
Possibly, but I'm sure I wouldn't get paid for it. But yeah,
I want you to get paid.
I can't. I'm not going to announce on the air.
I wonder, is there like syndication for articles? Like, were you?
No, not that I know of.
Oh, okay. We got to change this. It's got to start somewhere. Let's have it start right here.
That's true. I guess there has been a lot of articles by this point. You probably could syndicate some.
I'm still waiting to hear about this whatever news item is that's so much better than my talk about used Pintos. I'm waiting patiently with my legs crossed in a feminine fashion.
The news item is that... Give me a second.
He's good, folks. God, he's good.
Dubois, TCGplayer.com, 5K in Hartford.
We had talked about that a little bit before, but tell me more.
Wait, you talked about it before? When did you talk about it?
We just mentioned it was going to be happening.
Oh. I got basically this Dubois guy, Joe Dubois, beat Next Level Naya in 3 games at the 5K Hartford. In the finals, he was playing the Esper Ultimatum deck, which has been picking up popularity recently. I don't know how good the deck is, but people apparently like it. So yeah, there's not too much to say about it, but it's a 5K and hosted by TCG Player and took it down.
And then we also have, kind of related terms, we also had the Standard and the Legacy Open in Seattle from Star City Games.
Correct. That was, you didn't mention that last week?
No, I mean, we have the winners right now.
Well, you are lame. So, Luis Scott Vargas top-8 both days, which is pretty sweet. He was playing the Blue-Green Turbo Land list in Standard, and he took second. He lost to the Jund player that was running a pretty interesting Jund list. He was running aggro Jund with no future leeches, and like instead he was running Nest Invaders and
Eldrazi Monument. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Eldrazi Monument, and he didn't have Lightning, I don't think. Maybe he had Lightning, I can't remember. But he was not running... Oh, he didn't have Thrinax. He's running Eldrazi Monument without sprouting Thrinax, which seemed really interesting since, like, obviously those two have some synergy. You sacrifice your Thrinax, then you have 3 dudes. But anyway, he ended up winning, beating Luis in the finals. And then the Legacy portion, New Horizons won, which is a kind of a land deck that uses Terravor and Nigh the Reliquary and Tarmogoyf and a bunch of, like Wastelands, Fetchlands, it has a Karakas in the main deck, Stifles, things like that. So you're kind of denying mana from your opponent while you play huge threats. It's got Force of Wills and Dazes and stuff like that, of course. So that one, Luis, again, top 8, he's playing with the Reanimator list that he and Jerry have been championing for a while. But, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, the Karakas, is this an awesome pick?
Karakas has been, it's one of the best cards in Legacy. It just deals with a lot of the Reanimator stuff, like Iona, or I guess Iona. But out of show and tell decks, it beats like Emrakul, things like that. It's not like the greatest card ever, but it's pretty good against. He was using it to bounce his Vendilion Click and then recast Vendilion Click over and over again.
Yeah, that's just what a cool card for all the different interactions that it has, and really sucked, and you know, really for a long time until we have really good legends these days.
And it's almost strictly better than a Plains. Like obviously you can wasteland it, but it taps for white mana, doesn't come to play tapped or anything, so it's pretty sweet. That was the rundown from those tournaments. There is also a Star City Games 10K happening in St. Louis this week that I will be at. I'm leaving on Friday. We're going to drive out there. So I'll be at that one. So anyone's got, again, Standard and Legacy. So anyone that is going to that, give me a shout when I get there.
I do know Eric from St. Louis is going.
It would make sense since he's from St. Louis.
I'm just saying he's going. Just because it's in his hometown doesn't mean he's going to be there.
Oh, he should.
Everybody in St. Louis is going to be at Star City Games St. Louis.
The hometown Star City Games tournament for me, I won't be at, but that's because I'll be sleeping on your couch.
Yes. I don't know. You haven't been very nice to me this episode. I'm kind of 50-50 right now.
Whoa. Whoa,
you can't... Mr. Salty Conley, anytime.
You can't pull the rug out. And everybody, Tom is a wonderful, generous man with a very large ejaculation tool.
There we go. He is back in the fold. Anytime you can just compliment a man's tools. Unit on the air, that takes balls.
I was referring to, obviously, a shop back put in reverse. That's what an ejaculation tool is.
I thought maybe you were referring to my spot bot that I have for cleaning up the cat messes.
Oh, yeah, that one works, too.
Like, we should be sponsored by Bissell that makes the spot bot. It is the most amazing thing I've ever had.
I suppose even like a bottle of Windex is an ejaculation tool.
It is. You realize I can't put this in the title of the show.
You can't put ejaculation in the title.
Because I had that one where I said,
What about boys and their tools?
I had two of the butt, and that was a little risque for a lot of the websites. I'm pretty sure Conley's ejaculation tool is not going to make the cut as a show title. It's going to be the second line, so you see
and
it right yet, below the show title, but I can't make
and
the
yet Conley's soft serve special somehow made it.
Yeah, with sprinkles on top sort of thing, you just be like, oh.
Soft serve special, they have to guess what it means. This ejaculation tool, if they do guess, they're going to go to the wrong area of the brain.
All right, I'm going to do my couple of little magic themes that I have for this week. Kelly Reed from Quiet Speculation, we've heard about this for a while, is putting together this big magic theme road trip. He would do a bunch of coverage, hit a bunch of different magic stores in his area of the country, and do a ton of coverage. And in order to help fund this, he was looking for sponsors. And apparently I was the first one to reply. So MTGcast is the first official sponsor for the road trip, for Kelly Reed from Quiet Speculation. Even though it's coming nowhere close to Minnesota, we're still funding it. And it's not coming close to Denver.
Well, that shows you how dedicated we are to the community.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what else we've got. We mentioned this a little bit before we started recording, but there's been some new updates to the bannings in Elder Dragon Highlander.
Oh, boy.
And this, I'm not sure how quickly this happens, but this will most likely then happen in Commander on MTGO.
Yeah, they Aaron Forsyth, I said, they literally just used the EDH ban list to update their Commander, so.
It's one of those things, I didn't know how quickly that got updated. Is it like when a new set comes out that it takes 2 weeks to 4 weeks, or is it something that's like, boom, rules are updated, this is the way it is?
I don't think it takes 2 to 4 weeks. I think they'll just do it on the next downtime, which will be Wednesday.
Okay, sounds good. And the bans that we have is Staff of Domination is now banned, Channel, and Tolarian Academy. And then all of you douchebag Rofalos general players, you are now officially up the creek. You have to substitute another abusive green general for your mono green like mana ramp deck.
I guess they have to play Azusa Lost with Seeking again.
Yeah, and you can't dump it into your Staff of Domination now either, which is sort of a life mana card.
It's the
drawing,
big stick. It does everything.
Yeah,
they are kind of douchebags, aren't they?
So it's interesting. I'm not playing these cards in my EDH decks. I don't play super cutthroat EDH, but it seems like it must be good for the. I know you do. Don't even attempt.
I'm so upset.
And Aaron Forsyth, he mentioned right on his Twitter feed that he had a few of these cards in his Glissa deck. So he admitted too that he'd been abusing some of these.
I mean, you pretty much have to use Staff of Domination in your Glissa deck, right?
You don't have to. I mean, there's no rule in EDH saying if you have Glissa, you must be playing this with it.
I think there actually is, Tom. I think you just not understand the rules.
You just don't understand the rules. Okay. Ah, Glissa. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was just so abusive because you could then directly control the amount of mana in your mana pool. That's something they seem to be wanting to go away from. Because now they got rid of mana burn and things like this. They want to be able to make it hard for people to control exactly what's in their mana pool without cards like Staff of Domination.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I thought abusive combos were fun for everybody.
No, they're not, Jack.
Well,
what happens when you're on the receiving end of one of these combos? I mean, are you like, yeah, good play, buddy, good play. I didn't get to do anything, but I was...
No. I'll tell you exactly what I do, which is what other people should do. I man up, I take it, and then I come back and I bring hate the next time I play the person.
So what you're saying is when somebody ejaculates a combo on you, you just sit there and you take it like a man.
Yeah, precisely.
Okay.
He said yes. He admitted it.
I rival Gregory Peck in my manliness.
Yeah, is there anybody more manly than Gregory Peck? I mean, I don't think I ever saw him.
Yeah, he's actually dead, but I don't think I ever saw him smile in a single film.
You're like, yes, he's actually dead.
Yes.
He just didn't let anybody know about it. That's how manly he was. He just stopped paying his bills one day.
Well, I'm really glad Tolarian Academy's banned, I must say.
It hasn't that been banned for forever?
No, it's been used in a couple of different decks.
It was banned as of when this announcement came out.
Oh, I thought it was banned before that.
No. Daxon and a couple others used it to create success with their staves that are also banned now.
I was expecting an ejaculation joke to come out there, but I'm just going to keep this moving right into Arch Enemy, because we had the release this weekend. I was sequestered away in a North Woods cabin, so I did not get to play in the Arch Enemy release.
But it wasn't in North Dakota, was it?
No, this was in northern Minnesota.
All right, well, you're forgiven.
So there was water and trees, both of which are in short supply in North Dakota.
Did you get messed up by all those tornadoes?
No, that was luckily outside of the cities, and it did not hit up north where we went to the cabin. Because those tornadoes and the hail, they really just screwed stuff up. I mean, people died. There's this picture of this school bus that just flipped over and was just like crushed into the ground.
Yeah, I heard about it. It was pretty insane.
Have you ever actually been through like a tornado touchdown?
Yes, actually. I was visiting my parents. I was out at my parents' house for the summer in Chicago. Northwest Indiana. And we have close to 3 acres of land out there, which is, we're in Gary, so having 3 acres of land is actually like a miracle. I don't know how we have it, but we have a pretty huge plot of land. And this storm was coming, and then power went out, and we realized that there was going to be a tornado, so we actually ran down into the cellar. And we literally have one of those like old school cellars where like you go outside and the door opens up and you go down and there's a dirt floor and there's like the water heater and whatnot. Anyway, we're hanging out down there, and I was holding on to a pipe that was connected to the water heater.
And your stack of porn magazines?
No, we're all down there though, and like everything's getting ripped apart. We're like, the tornado ended up being like right in our yard. But anyway, I'm down there holding on to a pipe, and lightning hit the ground actually. And went, I didn't realize it, but it hit the pipe and knocked me out cold. And I was out cold for a few minutes, laying on the ground, like convulsing, because I got effectively struck by lightning. And like my parents were all freaking out.
So much, Conley. Explain so much.
This was like a year and a half ago. And like my parents were all freaking out. And, you know, I ended up waking up or whatever, and everything was fine. And then we went upstairs outside, and I had pictures of it for a while, but literally the tornado landed in our yard, somehow like jumped past our house to where our house didn't get screwed up, and then went all along the road lines. We're like up on a hill outside the road, and all of our trees in our yard were ripped out, and the grass was all messed up, and we had a car flipped over. It literally landed directly in our yard, and it was like the most damage of anywhere in the town. So it was kind of crazy. But that was the first time I've really been in a tornado, but it was definitely like in the heart of it. So
it's absolutely terrifying. And first, it's cool because you're watching depending on where you're at in the process, you can like watch the funnel cloud like go up into the clouds.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That looks awesome. And then realize you're about to die. And like, that's not so awesome anymore.
Yeah, it was definitely bad.
And then cleaning up after one just makes you angry. So like you said, like it just takes these 50-foot trees and just plops them on the road. And you're just like,
yeah, we had a huge fire pit or whatever, and we were like cutting trees for like weeks to dispose of them and go burn them or whatever. But we had, I don't know, we probably had 40-ish trees in our yard, maybe a little less, maybe 30, but I would say at least 10 to 15 of them were completely ripped out and like knocked over. Luckily, none of them like fell on the house, or one almost fell on the house, but we were able to tip it the other way. But none fell on a car or anything like that. So we had one car tip over on its side, but other than that, we really didn't have any damage. Like even our pool was completely fine. I mean, everything was everywhere, of course, but so we minimal damages to like anything that was worth money or to people. So that was good.
So if you have any tornado stories, send them in, because it's something where if you live in the, I guess I'm not sure exactly where Tornado Alley is. It kind of goes through, was it like Indiana? Kind of goes down south through Kansas, I think, is that Tornado Alley? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, it's like stretches up from Texas, right? It starts in Texas and goes up.
So if you have any stories, share them with us. We'll share them on the next show. But I want to talk about what I think is going to be a very cool new format. This is Arch Enemy. And I've already had a few emails about people from their release events, and they've been very excited so far. I feel like this is, in a lot of ways, Plane Chase 2.0, where now they're going to get this right. Where you have a new card type, you got this big card doing stuff to the game, but hopefully this will be more exciting in the long run than Plane Chase, to me, really panned out to be. Like, I haven't played Plane Chase for a while, and I don't think I'm going to be going back to it. Have any of you guys gotten to play any Arch Enemy before I go through the one very cool listener story that I got about this?
Nope. Sorry.
So what we have, this is Mark F. in Toronto. So this is a 4-on-1 game. The Archman was playing the black-red deck. His turn goes like this. First scheme is Dance Pathetic Marionette. He goes and grabs a Magister Sphinx from his Esper deck and then sets this guy was playing against the Arch Enemy player and got his life set to 10 even before anyone had played a land. So that's pretty good. Second scheme that got played was Your Puny Minds Cannot Fathom, so he draws 4 cards, hits him with a Magister, and so he's now down at 5 life. the Black Red Archenemy player plays a sign in blood, targeting this guy. He's now down to 3 life, and he's played 1 land. Scheme number 3 is Mortal Flesh is Weak, which sets everybody's life total to the lowest life total, which is now 3. He then swings and kills him with the Magister Sphinx. Now there's only 3 hero players left. The fourth scheme is I Delight in Your Convulsions, which deals 3, it drains 3 life from all players. So basically the Archenemy player won with 2 attacks of a Magister Sphinx and his scheme cards, and 1 sign in blood.
Are all the scheme cards really named those kind of things?
Yes, we talked about this last week. There's been some really mixed feelings where I think this makes them that much cooler.
Some of them sound cool, but some of them are really weird.
Yeah, but this makes it stand out. It's not a 2-word plane or what you would expect from a Magic card title. This makes it different. You know it's not a Magic card. This is a scheme card.
It's a lot cooler if you have to talk in like a Dr. Evil voice while you say it there.
I think that's going to be part of the point. I would say a vast majority of people I've heard of have had negative thoughts on how long and sort of arbitrary the names of these cards are. But if I'm playing something that's totally about flavor, which is Archenemy, I think it's kind of cool. Maybe after 3 months playing it, I won't think it's so cool anymore when I'm saying your puny minds cannot fathom for the 300th time.
Because then it's just going to roll off your tongue as, your minds can't.
4 cards.
Fathom it, don't ask.
And then we've also had information about another promo scheme. So we've had announcements of 3 promo screams coming out in a very short term. This is Your Inescapable Doom, and this one is cool. It's an ongoing scheme that has no way to abandon it. So if this gets played, it's there for the rest of the game. Ongoing scheme. At the beginning of your end step, put a doom counter, which is awesome, on this scheme. Then this scheme deals damage equal to the number of doom counters on it to the opponent with the highest life total among your opponents. If 2 or more players are tied for the highest life total, you, the Archenemy, get to choose which one takes the damage. It just slowly grows for the entire game. And that, to me, that is a little frustrating. Maybe if I was a hero player, not the Archenemy, I would like to know that the schemes can somehow be dealt with. Well, this one, it's just there. And it's going to annoy me for the rest of the game.
That almost exceeds the douchebag quota for some of the scheme cards.
How are they dealt with?
Well, most of them, unless they say ongoing scheme, they're just a one-shot, like a sorcery. Like, your Funny Minds cannot fathom, it just says, boom, you draw 4 cards, you don't have a hand limit for the rest of the turn, that's it.
Yeah.
Then there's the ongoing schemes, which have the ability to say, usually have a way to, they say, abandon. If this game state happens, or this effect happens, this scheme gets abandoned, so it's put back into the scheme deck. This one has no way to get rid of, and there's, as far as we know, there's no cards that say, abandon current scheme, or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Guys, do we have anything else we want to mention before we go on to our very cool listener question that he wanted all the co-hosts to answer?
I got nothing. Oh, I guess I have the announcement that I made a couple weeks ago about the designer search and stuff. I got a ton of emails regarding that, and I'm not just putting you guys off. We're just waiting until our domain name opens for our website, because I don't want anything to really interfere with that and like somebody go back and redeem it or buy it out from underneath us or anything like that. And that'll be happening here, I think, on the 21st. So as soon as that happens and it opens up and we get that officially bought, then I will be contacting some people and maybe making some more announcements next week on it. But yeah, we're still, if you weren't listening or whatever, we're still looking for graphic designers as well as web designers. We got a whole bunch of graphic designers, not quite as many website designers, and looking for some entries, possibly portfolios, things like that to help us out. And I will be contacting all of you in the near future.
Now, I had a lot of questions about this. Now, when you brought this up the first time, is there any more, even slightly more specific things you can tell people about this site that would maybe say, hey, I have skills in that special part of web development that would make me say I should contact Conley?
Well, I mean, there will be a card store attached, so we're going to be doing dealing with cards. There'll be some other stuff too, though. But yeah, I mean, I can't say too much about it yet. Like, I just want to make sure that all of our, we already own the business name, and we own rights to it and everything like that. We just don't have the website yet, so I want to make sure we get the domain name first, because basically if we announce the domain name, it currently is owned by a guy, and it goes back on the market on, like, I think it's the 21st, it might be the 23rd, but it goes back on the market then. But if he finds out that we want it, he can actually renew it and then sell it to us for way more expensive than we would buy it if it just went back on the market.
Except for like $12, whatever it costs to like register a...
Yeah, instead he could like make us pay like $100, or we'd have to go find a new name or something like that. So I just want to make sure that kind of goes through, you know, without a hitch, so to speak. And then once that's good, then I'll be contacting people. We got a whole bunch of emails, and I appreciate them all, so... Send them back. Send them in if you have not.
And we'll throw in quickly. We officially have the release tournament and the pre-release promos for M11. We're going to be having Sun Titan is going to be the pre-release promo, which is actually a pretty cool card in a lot of ways.
It's sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's reanimating three casting costume lists permanent, wherever you want to pop out there.
Yeah, it's so good.
In my mind, I'm like thinking Oblivion Ring and just all these bad things happening with that, but it's just going to be a fun card. And we also have, and I think people overall are less excited about Ancient Hellkite, but hey, it's a promo. You get it for free, what the hell.
Yeah, it's not. You're not very exciting, unfortunately, but that's okay.
All right. The question, this is the What You've Been Playing section. We're going to hijack this for the question from Matt P. And Jack and I talked a little bit about this, about when we first started playing Magic, what were your kind of favorite cards or favorite decks? What cards you thought were good when you first started playing? Because you're always really wrong about that. Which cards suck? You're also really wrong about that. He'd like to hear about this. We mentioned just a little bit. And people also like to hear what was our favorite set. And I came out that I like the Dark, which is not a good set overall, but I just think it's a cool set. So I just want to also start this one off. I said my first ever deck was Black Red, because in my first starter deck that I got, I had a Demonic Hordes and a Shyvan Dragon. Those are the two rares I remember. I think I got like a Death Lace or something just terrible alongside of it. So original deck was Black Red. My first deck that I could say was even like quasi-competitive or good. I'm doing big air quotes right now. Good. It was a Red-White Armageddon deck with Consecrate Land before I got Time Shifted back in. Where one white, you put that in your plateau, and then it couldn't be destroyed by your Armageddon, and wow, you are thinking two steps ahead of your opponent at that point.
When I printed Terra Eternal, you must have just been excited.
Very, very excited. But at that time, like if you cast a Consecrate Land on a white-red deck, they can usually guess what you're about to try to do. There wasn't any. You're passing some big signals at that point. And the question was, what was the best card? Because originally, Richard Garfield has expounded on this. When he first made Magic, he didn't expect for people to have access to four of every card. He expected when packs be open, there would be a card pool in that given area, and cards would sort of flow back and forth because it's Annie. So people wouldn't have four of every Mox or four Black Lotuses. So in my play group, we kind of had that. We had the set number of cards, and they went back and forth. So for us, games were so slow and our decks were so bad, Library of Lang was the best card because you never had to discard. So you could have 15 cards in your hand because nobody could really do anything.
I love me some Library of Lang.
Yes, and also I still remember this when we first got the cards and you're looking at the list, I could not keep Black Vice and Black Lotus separated. In my mind, they were the same card. Because I remember people play a Black Vice, and everybody's just like, that card is really... Because everybody has 12 cards in their hand, and you put that out, and it just immediately kills you. So yeah. Everybody's just like, wow, Black Lotus is really, really good. You're like, you actually saw the real Black Lotus, you're like, I'm not sure why everybody's that excited about this. That doesn't really help me at all. We also thought the dual lands were absolute trash, because they got killed by multiple different spells. So nobody wanted the dual lands. And then one of my first trades is I had one of the few Library of Langs in the card pool. And everybody knew how good this card was. But Royal Assassin was pretty cool, too. So I remember trading my Library of Lang for a Royal Assassin. And everybody agreed that I was probably kind of getting a little cheaped out on this trade, but we wanted to make sure I wasn't the only person with Library of Lang.
So how many do you have at the time?
How many Library of Langs did I have?
Yeah.
I had one. And a couple other guys had a Library of Lang. But there's basically 3 to 4 in our play group. That was it. There's probably just as many Royal Assassins, but Library of Lang was the card to have. And with the other things, we got that. And then once I started getting a little bit more into Magic and realizing that dual lands were good, dual lands were not very highly valued for a long time. I would trade Forces of Nature, Nightmares, and get like 3 to 5 dual lands for each one. Because everybody wanted Force of Nature, because that thing was unstoppable. Except for Terror, Swords of Plowshare, all the other cards that were in the sets at that time. So those are really the things that I had. So let's start with you, Marcel. What were your thoughts? You had some good ones down about this.
Yeah, well, my favorite card at the time was Leviathan, which is a 10-10, costs a ridiculous amount of mana. Yeah, and it comes into play tapped, and you had to sacrifice 2 islands to untap it and 2 islands to attack with it, and it doesn't have trample or flying. But somehow the 10-10, it was just amazing to me, and I was just stunned by it, and I couldn't help but play with that in my deck. But that was interesting. And then also, I would say the rule that I didn't really get at first was the 60-card deck. Like, I would play 100 cards, 120 cards, 80 cards. Like, I had 50 lands. I mean, 50% lands. I didn't get the idea of deck construction at all until, like, really I played online and played drafts. Like, the first draft I had was actually, like, a 60-card deck. I was like, why am I keep losing? It's just not working. And so
Well, that's the thing. Penguin, when you started playing Magic, when Magic first came out, the minimum was 40 cards, and you played for Annie. So there wasn't anything in there that said, well, now the minimum is 60, but it didn't say you should play 60. They said the minimum is 60. And when you start playing, you want to have all your good cards in your deck.
Exactly. It's like your children. Who's your favorite? You got to have them all in there.
No, because when you first start, you have like 300 cards. You're like, I'm going to play all the cards in those colors in my deck in order to get there. What about for you, Conley?
I don't know. I have some clunkers from when I started playing. So I obviously did not start playing when you guys did. I started in Mirrodin. But so one of the first things I ever did competitively, I basically played nothing but FNMs as far as like standard extended stuff goes until Grand Prix Dallas, which was my first non-FNM tournament from any of those. But I was into competitive vintage beforehand. It was actually like the first format I ever got involved in. And I was playing on a budget because proxy tournaments were out, but they weren't super popular when I started. And so I was working with some cards back then were not nearly as expensive as they were now. So I had four Bizarro Baghdads, but they were $50 at the time or whatever. Not 200. But basically I had this deck and I didn't know the rules as well as I should have. So I had this brilliant idea to use Bizarro Baghdad and Seismic Assault because I would discard the cards to Seismic Assault before I would have to discard them to the Bizarro Baghdad. So basically I would draw two cards off my Bizarro Baghdad, but then before having to discard three cards to it, I would discard them to the Seismic Assault, which is obviously highly illegal since you have to let one ability resolve. You can't do stuff in the middle of it. But so I was running stuff like what was the name of the card? It's a red and two, and you flip three coins, and then you do three damage to a creature. If you win one flip, then you do six damage to all creatures and players if you win two flips, and then if you win three flips, you do that, plus you draw eight cards and untap all your lands.
I'm trying to remember.
Let me know what it is. It's from Mirrodin. I wish I could remember what it was called.
There's Fiery Gambit.
I bet you if I type.
Are you thinking Fiery Gambit?
Yeah, that was it. Fiery Gambit.
Okay.
Yes, I had Fiery Gambit in there and Seismic Assault and then classic burn spells, Chain Lightning, Lightning Bolt, whatnot, and then 30 lands or something just so I would have plenty of lands for my Seismic Assault. And I was just cheating with Bizarro Baghdad, and then I would untap Bizarro Baghdad with Fiery Gambit, and then it was stupid. But and I'd Wheel of Fortune, of course. And so that was a fun deck for a while until I brought it to a tournament and found out my little combo did not work, and then I was just discarding my hand instead. And it wasn't good times.
It wasn't as much fun as you thought. You're like, oh.
No. But it was mainly because, we didn't really know about Errata or whatever at that time. And so if you read, Bizarro Baghdad, the actual printing on it makes you feel like you could do stuff in between the two abilities. But, yeah, that was a fun deck.
You're absolutely right, though, is when people go to your first tournament, as you've been playing either sometimes with house rules or without the Errata on the cards, where you just didn't know that, or what was banned and restricted. That was another thing. How are you supposed to know that? This was before the internet was a huge thing for looking up rules.
Yeah.
So I still remember going with my, just had your degenerate balance mind twist decks. And they're like, oh, as of today, mind twist and balance are restricted to only one copy. It's like, what the hell? I can't play my deck now. I'm like, how am I supposed to play all my moxes and then play balance? That's not fair. And then Jack had a couple of interesting stories, and one of these actually came up in my playgroup.
All right. Well, the first one I'm going to talk about is to appease our listener that wrote in. I was at our local store, and we actually had somebody who was a new player, so I went easy on him. And he was playing a mono-green, aggro deck, and he was under the assumption that when you tap Land of War Elves, you get to take a forest directly out of your deck and put it into play untapped. But I mean, whenever I was playing the guy, the deck was so shoddy, I just whatever, that's cool. And I just rolled over him.
But you can kind of understand how that would happen, though, because it shows was this the one where it actually showed this, the green tree on it?
Yeah, you would tap it, and it says, add a green to your mana pool. Well, of course,
And the new lands have that on the card, so you kind of understand it.
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, as a new player, which I'm not even going to say this guy's name, because now he's trying to very, very hard to break into the pro circuit, and he got a turnaround there in about 6 months, which was amazing. You can see where it was misleading, but at the same time, I was sitting there, and me as the jaded player, I was just like, oh, this person obviously has not read his cards properly. But as far as favorite decks go, and I've mentioned this deck a couple of times, especially on this podcast, I had a deck that was designed literally to not win the game, at all whatsoever. Me and this guy named 2-on-8 Magic and another guy called Pride of the Clouds worked on it together, and it was called Two Scoops. And the whole point of the deck was you created it, create a situation where it coerced your opponent into scooping and giving up and conceding to you via Ruined Halo calling most of their main threats and Story Circle calling the main color in their deck. And other than that, you would just play like Wrath of God and blow everything up whenever they try to swing.
I thought trying to be like twin casting like Scheherazade or just something just ridiculous.
Oh, no. This was a way. This was in standard like 2 years ago. Played this thing for months.
One of my favorite cards ever that would have been good in this deck is Divine Intervention. Does anybody know what that does?
Does it something about winning the game?
Oh, that's it's a card, Legends isn't it? Card?
Yeah. It's like a Legends. It's one of my favorite cards ever. I've actually built extended decks that were like had this like a. In there, and you could, or in Legacy, and you could, like, Academy Rector it out if you're going to lose the game. But basically, it's like 8 mana, it comes in play with 2 counters, and at the beginning of your upkeep, you remove a counter, and then when it has no counters on it, the game is a draw.
and we know there's not ways to remove counters off of cards, other ways as well.
None at all.
Zero. Yeah, that would have been fantastic in this, but. We got to where we actually had to win the game because people were getting very angry with us. So we all had our different ways of winning it. I think Pride of the Clouds put in a singleton Una's Grace so you could actually force the opponent to draw out their deck, which was really cruel. I decided to opt for Obelisk of Alara when that set first came in. And because it was a lot of fun, and I've actually got a great story out of that, but I've already told that on this cast many, many times. And the thing that finally put this deck into the ground was probably Anethomancer and Jund coming into rampant popularity.
And just the multiple broken bones and like doctor's bills from all the injuries.
Many people getting angry at me about this. Finally, it got to where this thing was too slow, so I started playing Turbo Fog, which was way more annoying. But at least like people know how to prepare for that deck. This, you would sit down and you'd go like a Ruined Halo, Story Circle, go. And then you would just proceed to lay lands the rest of the game, and they didn't know how to like comprehend that. Like, that was your strategy.
Well, that's like the turbo stasis decks, where you just would play lands to pay your stasis.
Yeah, and we actually got compared to that a lot. I think Pride of the Clouds said he went to a PTQ, and he sat down and he was playing it across from somebody, and the guy actually called a judge on him because he thought that Pride was intentionally stalling out the game to not, like, advance the game state. But no, Pride was genuinely playing his deck out. That was just what the deck did. It did nothing.
That's kind of class in its own way then. Like, no, I'm just playing my deck. It doesn't do anything. I'm just playing my deck.
Yeah, what was great is when he was explaining it to the judge, he said the judge's eyes just glazed over and he was like, oh, continue on then.
Let's see, and I'll share a few of Matt's responses. He actually mentions a card that I too remember when Fallen Empires came out. This card just seemed ridiculously good, and that was Deep Spawn. A 6 mana that you could kind of give it shroud in a weird way. But it kept it tapped for, 8 mana, I think, is Deep Spawn. How much is Deep Spawn these days for a casting cost? Way too much for a huge lobster, that's all I know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think it's 3 blue and then 5 colorless. Yep, 3 blue, 5 colorless. Trample, you have to sacrifice unless you put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard, which potentially with Threshold and stuff these days is maybe not a terrible thing. And then 1 blue, it gains Shroud until end of turn and doesn't untap until your next untap step. And you have to tap it then, which is really good. And Marcel, you can play this. It's in the Masters Edition set too.
Oh yeah!
So you can play with Deep Spawn. Don't feel left out.
Can't wait to do it. I actually want to play a format with nothing but crab rares. Actually, see how fun that.
Oh, I had the best. So everyone's got their cubes these days, right? I built crab rare cube about 2 years ago, and it was like the most fun thing of all time.
I can only imagine everyone beating each other up with these ridiculous
cards. So everything was a crapper, including the lands, which means like the 5 color lands, even no matter how bad they were like awesome. Like there's like a land attached for any color mana, but in order to untap it, you have to remove a card in your hand from the game.
Oh, like great. Yeah, it's a Citadel.
Yeah, but like that card was like
Forsaken
awesome.
Citadel.
Yeah,
and like the best card in the cube by far was Undying Flames, which is the epic red spell.
Oh, that is the worst of all, though.
Well, because like all the spells like cost an insanely huge amount, but you would just cast it, and your opponent's like, I mean, there's a couple counter spells in there, like some bad ones like Last Word and stuff, but like you basically just sit there and you take like 4 to 8 every turn and you just die. But there was a whole bunch of really fun cards in there. Like, I mean, every card you can imagine like being horrible was just in there, like Obstinate Familiar and all kinds of great crazy junk. Like, he could draft the aggro deck with a bunch of like 1/1s for one that do nothing, or like Mog flunkies and all kinds of stupid stuff. It was awesome though. But yeah, crap birds are definitely a fun thing to mess with.
Let's see, and Matt shares kind of, again, the rule confusions at play when you first start learning Magic is with Frozen Shade, they didn't understand that its pump ability ended at the end of turn, so they just thought it was this amazing creature that just kept growing for a black mana and just maintained. It continued to be huge the next turn.
Oh, yeah. I used to play with, like, Wither, and actually, I used to think damage stayed on the creature until they died.
Oh, because with Wither, it kind of does with the negative one counters.
Yeah, basically.
And he also had the interesting thing, too, if you're reading out the instruction book, because when they first played, he didn't realize you couldn't have more than 4 of 1 card in his deck. So he had at least six copies of Lightning Bolt in his deck.
That's a man deck right there.
A lot of cards like Wheel of Fortune, Earth and Fire Elementals, and Dragon Whelp. So yes, that is awesome. We all, if you played like Beta Unlimited Revised Time, everybody had a deck like that.
I may have just ordered a pizza while we were talking.
What kind of pizza? Are you going to share?
It's a Papa John's pizza because it was online and easy to use, and it has chicken, Italian sausage, beef, pineapple, mushrooms, olives, and green peppers.
Wow. And later in the episode, other shameless plugs.
I wasn't planning on saying it was from Papa John's, but Tom asked me. So
I'm a pizza connoisseur. My best friends, they run a pizza place, so I actually taste pizzas from other places and actually have a system of telling how to kind of rank that pizza.
Oh, in no way am I claiming Papa John's is the best bite. It's probably the best of, like, the chains, but no, I definitely have some non-chain places, but I couldn't order off there online, so that was...
Have you guys ever had a white pizza?
White pizza is delicious.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay,
no, it's racist sauce, though. That's all I like.
No. Like, a white pizza has like Alfredo sauce and mozzarella, garlic chicken, and all kinds of other good stuff on it.
You can use any toppings, but mainly it's use Alfredo sauce instead of marinara sauce.
Wow, it sounds like your diarrhea would just be terrible later on that night.
Yeah, like you can feel your heart clogging the entire time, but I mean, it's so good. It's so worth it.
And okay, one of Matt's last things is, when he first saw Black Lotus, he thought it was way overrated and overpriced. And they also remember when Nightmare was like the flying horse thing that's power toughness equal number of swamps that you have in play was insanely expensive and powerful. So it's just amazing when you look back at the original sets to how much Magic has really changed over the time. I mean, the game was almost unrecognizable from the original game.
Besides, yeah, we shifted from broken spells to broken creatures.
Yeah, I mean, besides like lands and things, but really the things that are going on with the keywords and things these days, it's such a different game than I think was even envisioned then.
But it's fun.
It is fun. I think, and that's how you have to keep the game fresh. Much as people argue about it, you have to do it.
No, yeah, you can't. I mean, look at every other game that's tried to stay the course, so to speak. They've all died out for a good reason. So,
yeah, and we even see this in things that aren't like collectible card games. Like, think of World of Warcraft. It's not the exact same game it was 10 years ago. It's significantly different these days than it was then.
Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, exactly. Things are always changing. So I'm going to be that just cantankerous old guy that's in doubt about how things were he was when he was young. Like, you know, walking uphill both ways with hot potatoes in your pockets to keep your hands warm, and then you ate them for lunch. You know, that sort of thing. That's a North Dakota story, Conley, for you.
Oh, that crappy place that has yet to secede from the nation for unknown reasons.
Have you ever gotten an email from Brad Nelson? I'm just curious.
Brad and I are friends.
And he's cool with the North Dakota bashing, because he is, I believe, in Fargo,
I make
right?
fun of him all the time, and he supports my North Dakota stereotypes, because he says things like, we asked him if he's smart one time at GP Austin, and I'll never forget this, because basically I'm rooming with Steve Staten, Brad Nelson, his brother, myself, and Chris Lockman, one of the Sliver kids, and we're like, there's no smart people in North Dakota, are there? And he's like, I'm smart. I read books. That's literally what he said.
I read farm almanacs.
And so, yeah, you're not helping yourself by allowing people from North Dakota to go outside of state lines and interact with normal human beings.
They represent themselves like, ooh, no, not a good choice, Tom. This is kind of like having emissaries from a country, except as North Dakota. Let's see. That is what I have. Do you guys have anything else about kind of your original Magic memories when you first started playing? I still remember having my entire card collection in a shoebox and those little plastic snap-top containers labeled for the color, like blue. That was all my blue cards, was like 100 cards.
I remember playing with goblins, and then there was this card, the Tears of Rage, I think it was. remember, like, I started in Mirrodin, so it's a little different. My stories aren't quite as cool because I don't get to play the old cards. But I was playing Goblins, and I put Tears of Rage in there, which says, like, creatures you control get plus X, plus zero until end of turn, where X is the number of attacking creatures, and then...
you sack them all at the end of turn.
Yeah, but, like, you would just win, so it didn't matter. But, yeah, I had a sweet Goblins deck with that in it, and I was using, like, Click Slither and stuff. It was awesome. I won my second FNM of ever. I came in for second, my first FNM, and won my second one.
Well, this is, we kind of talk about, like, Jack, you brought this up about how do you handle kind of douchebaggy cards or douchebaggy decks in a playgroup. We understood how to do this when Magic first came out. Like, if somebody had a deck like that, or somebody was, when the first player discovered Mind Twist was really good, and we all
took them out back and beat them with a bag of sticks.
Yeah, and everybody came the next day with, like, Library of Lings and everything else to make sure that they never wanted to play Magic again. Like, we understood how to fix that problem when we first started playing, and then we forget how.
Wait, does Library of Ling even, like, so instead of discarding your hand, you put it all on top of your library?
Exactly.
Like, how good can that possibly be? You still lost your entire hand.
Well, I told you, these aren't good decks. They didn't have a way to actually kill you.
But, I mean, if somebody like, plow-undered your entire hand away, like, you're still probably going to lose the game.
And the games are this slow, not necessarily. And also, this was typically multiplayer, too. You have to remember that as well. I mean, you had the one guy playing the Elephant Graveyard deck. I mean, with elephants
and
Elephant Graveyard.
It's some nuts.
So, I do agree. There are some very fun things from when you first start playing Magic. And it gives you a tear in your eye, just like if you watch Toy Story 3. It's very, very similar.
Manly tears. Manly tears.
All right, let's bust in to our listener emails. We love to get emails. You can email us. I am pitimp at mtgcast.com. Jack, where should we hit you up?
Folks, if you want to reach me, by all means, catch me on Twitter at Jack LaCroix at Twitter, I guess would be the best way to say that. You can also get me at my Tumblr at jackfromnc.tumblr.com.
Yeah, you gotta calm down on that. Like, there's so many posts from you now with that Tumblr thing. I'm like, not sure what's
going
on.
It's so easy to use, Tom, and I'm an insomniac, so it's much easier just to get on there when I'm bored and be like, hey, here's a picture of Power Girl.
I'm gonna practice bad sleep hygiene. Da, 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 da.
Oh, it's so easy to use, though. It's like FormSpring and LiveJournal and Twitter and every other annoying program you could possibly think of rolled into one. It's so beautiful.
All right. How about you, Marcel?
Catch me at marcel@mtgcast.com. And also check out hoodshez.com. We have the new episode up, number 4, and it's pretty cool. You should check it out.
New one up?
Marcel, I'm not trying to kiss your butt, but that show is great.
Thank you. We try to make it better every time. But, we got a new one up. It's salmon and vegetables on the grill plus a dessert. It's under 5 minutes, so it's not going to waste your time. It's got streamlined, so my editing skills have gotten better.
Nice.
So check it out.
I still remember the one where you guys went camping. Is there any, like, random, like, weapon use?
Yeah, there's a few.
Okay, good. That's always, like, it's kind of like the Where's Waldo for one of those episodes. I'm like, okay, where is it? Yeah. So now, is even your dessert made on the grill?
Yeah, the dessert was made on the grill.
That's awesome.
It wasn't me. It was two other chefs. And we're going to have a new one coming up this year, so we're going to try to do a bunch of them on every month on the month. So hopefully this year will be good, too.
Sweet. And how about for you, Conley?
You can reach me at ejaculationtool@mtgcast.com.
You realize I can actually make that email address, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
That's actually my email address.
It's Conley@mtgcast.com, and as soon as we get this domain name, I don't want to give out our email address because that'll give away what the domain name is, but you can start sending things regarding my future business to a different email, so I'll get that out hopefully next week.
Okay. As soon as you want it officially sent out, Conley, just email to me, and we can even put it, like, on the Twitter feed or the site or something.
Okay, yeah.
Once it's official, like you said.
I mean... It's not the most inventive thing to do when you're a Magic player, but we have some. I have some connections, obviously, and starting up a business. It's a fairly cool thing to do. So I'm giving it a shot.
All right, let's bust through our listener. Hey, do you guys have any listener emails before I do mine? This way, my voice will recover.
I had somebody that wrote in saying that they thought I was awesome. That was kind of nice. I can't remember the guy's name, but I can't tell if he was trolling even or not, but big shout out to him. That was really nice.
I had a lot of baby powder supporters, including one that sent in that link that you got, Tom.
Oh, yeah, and I have that on the show notes here.
Okay, good.
Let's see. I also got a listener email from somebody that was talking to me about how I should choose different card choices rather than the ones I was using, which that was actually a really good email. Let's see if I can find that. Half Price Hobbies was the one that gave the Jackavision plug. There we go.
Oh, I think he emailed me this too this week. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Cody Champlin. Yeah, he was the guy that sent in about EDH, and that was a great email, Cody, so thanks for hitting me up with that.
Let's see, how about for Marcel, do you have anything you wanted to bring up?
See, I got one from Matt. He actually played a Kiln Fiend deck, and he took it to a PTQ in St. Louis, and he got ninth with it.
Sweet, that is fantastic. All right, so my emails for this week is, first is from Matt T., and Jack and I talked about some art on Magic cards that was very suggestive last week, at being based on a listener saying, hey, you should check out Weatherseed Totem. And I mentioned a card called Eye of the Storm. Matt T. sends in his choice of a card called Mirrodin's. The Mirrodin's Promise of Power. It's on the lower half of the card. There's a very suggestive thing on his belt that looks like a different piece of male anatomy. So that is one to go check out. I have to say that Weatherseed Totem and Eye of the Storm are much worse, in my official opinion.
Yeah, because on this one, it just looks like the guy's having a massive attack of roid rage.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one that's on the list, but there are other
ones. Well, when you consider the fact that metal is piercing through his skin, that does take on a whole new meaning there, I must say.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so angry and happy at the same time.
I'm reading a book right now where this guy supposedly had a head in, he's a bad guy, he's a Russian military guy, and he got shot in the head, and it mixed up his receptor, so now when he feels pain, he actually feels pleasure. They've been reversed.
Oh, that's like the Russian out of The Punisher, then.
Yeah, so when he gets shot, he just like, oh, yeah, he almost has an orgasm.
This is awesome.
Pete C., he's a new listener. He enjoys the show. And what he says, he started listening to the show, then he started listening to all the previous episodes. And he likens this to a Doctor Who episode, where you'll listen to us talk about the set, then we'll be talking about the release, then the pre-release, and then the rumors about that set. Which I admit is watching Lost as well. He also likens us as the mothership gives him magic facts. Rich Hagon is like a sports reporter. We're like the Monty Python version of magic.
I can accept that.
I will, because I think we use the word ejaculation almost as much as they do. I will, and he also mentions he would like to have any cyborg. What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. Just raise your hand if you have a question. That's okay.
I was just yelling out the word ejaculation in a subliminal message form, and you heard me, and therefore it was not subliminal at that point.
It was just liminal at that point?
Yeah.
He also wanted to ask if listeners have any ideas for his standard white-black allies deck for sideboards. And I don't know anything more about the deck than that. He also sent in the EDH combo of Channel plus Emrakul, which of course is now banned. Which I actually happened after I got this email, so I'll give him credit. Let's see, Matt P., I want to give this, he sent me in the longest email with the most hyperlinks I've ever seen in an email that I've gotten. I must have been around 40 items hyperlinked to different YouTube videos. So I want to say thank you. It was the longest email I think I've ever seen. He also wanted to kind of hear our thoughts on the M11 card Sun Titan, also if there's a possibility of having Ranger of Eos come back in M11. Because there's been some questions about that.
Does not seem likely.
For Ranger of Eos?
Correct.
It's one of those things where, I mean, we're in the world of just baseless speculation, but it seems like it might be a little strong.
Yes, no.
I mean, it's not new to being strong. It just doesn't seem like with Venturine being around, I don't think they're just going to be like, hey, let's replace this card that's obviously insane with Venturine.
This is another way to fuel it to making Venturine even worse.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next, Dan B. This is the one that you alluded to, Conley, about Dan B. listened to our discussion of Baby Powder. And like you said, Conley, a lot of people were on your side where they thought I was weird because I never heard of this, which I never had, that baby powder is very useful, and there's actually a sports-optimized version of baby powder for people to use called DZ.
And DZ Nuts, right?
Yeah, it's DZ Nuts, and it's all one word. And the trademark little blurb is, protect your junk. And it gets worse. If you actually read the description of this, apparently there's this professional biker, Dave Zabriskie, that is the spokesperson for this. And I almost wondered if I clicked on their shopping page, and at first I thought this was a fake website, because some of the stuff was just ridiculous. So he says, proper maintenance, where the word taint is highlighted in red, T-A-I-N-T, of the perineal area is essential during high-level training and racing. Nothing can ruin stage race success faster than an infected saddle sore. It's made from tea tree oil, Avodia, and masterwort.
It's true. It's a true statement.
So this is a high-viscosity chamoy cream that you use on your perineum. So there you go, Conley. You have an even higher tech. So this looks like it'd be a lot easier to bring with you, like in your man purse or your backpack.
But the only problem is I'm sure it's way more expensive than baby powder.
I would guess it is a little more exciting. I'm trying to see, where is their shopping page on this? I want to know how much DZ Nuts costs and what size.
DZ Nuts.
So a 4-fluid-ounce tube will set you back $24. If DZ Nuts were to contact you, would you be willing to wear their T-shirt as like a sponsorship?
If DZ Nuts contacted me, I would definitely wear their T-shirt. I would obviously request some compensation, maybe some free DZ Nuts for the rest of my life.
And what about their other logo, their, I guess not a logo, it's their slogan of lube 'em or lose 'em?
I mean, these are all true statements, Tom. I'm telling you, there is an epidemic going around, and you were just blind to it, and you were just steering our listeners into a dead end where they would lose their junk.
It's and just going to fall off and roll down their jeans.
I came in as Super Ejaculation Man, and I saved them.
You did, and Jack sent me a link to what he claims is the most manly item on the planet, and this is Power Thirst, which I don't know. Is
it's amazing.
Sort of
you can drink it, and you can vomit up a wedding.
This is the worst website
I've ever
seen.
Just watch the
video,
Tom.
This is the worst. This website looks like it's from the 80s. If somebody from the 80s could make a website, this
I'll
is
be
what
right
it
back.
Like.
Don't you dare say that that's the worst website you've ever been to, because I'll show you the worst website. Just watch the video and accept it. Anyway. It's a power drink that if you down it, you're going to vomit up a wedding.
All right. This show is where we're losing it fast. Let's keep this going while Conley gets his pizza. Jason B. sends in his favorite deck of all time was the Draco Explosion deck, which he claimed had a third turn kill guaranteed every game.
Ouch.
This is the old Erratic Explosion Draco deck with accumulated knowledges and scroll rack and all those other crazy cards in it.
I got my pizza.
We heard you get your pizza. That was very well done. Did you pay for it online?
Yeah, I paid for it online. That's why I didn't want to step away from the podcast. That's the only reason I ordered Papa John's and not Pasquini's or something, which is much better around here, but I would have to call them.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Jesse S. has a pretty slick new Magic blog at 60cards.com, which I thought was just a kind of a cool URL. He says he'll be focusing on some draft videos, tourney reports. He's going to be actually recording stuff with Fraps, which is a well-known, I guess, PC-based screen recording software program.
Yeah, I was told to get Fraps a whole bunch, but Channel Fireball paid for Camtasia, so I would feel bad, be like, hey, thanks for the $350 program, but I'm going to use this free one. No, I heard Fraps is okay. It leaves a watermark, though, which is annoying out here.
Yeah, if you pay like the $30 for it, then you don't have any watermark.
Yeah, but Camtasia's been fine. It was a struggle at first. I still need to get my audio down, but for those not in the know, I'm recording draft videos for Channel Fireball now. Basically recording my drafts from online and whatnot, and I'll eventually be recording constructed matches as well. But yeah, basically, those will be going up probably this week, early this week. I already sent in 4. The audio is not perfect on them, but I got a new mic from them, and I'm going to experiment with it and try to get it better. Okay. So, hopefully.
Yeah, and overall, yeah, Camtasia is not any worse than Fraps. Fraps is just a straightforward, it captures your screen and audio into like a video file.
Yeah.
It's very, very bare bones, but it tends to run very quickly if you're playing like Crysis or something crazy hard on your system. It's very low resource use. Let's see. Next, we have Mark R. He writes in. He goes, hey, I'm a big fan of your show. He thought that the last show, episode 211, was one of the funniest podcasts he'd ever heard. Keep up the good work and give into your inner douchebag. It feels good to be bad.
Yes, it does.
Sawyer A. sends in. He said that it's a polymorph-like deck that instead of using polymorph, uses Hellcarver Demon, which at least I thought was interesting because I have not actually seen a deck use Hellcarver Demon ever. Because that card just seems insane that it makes you sacrifice pretty much everything that you have on the table.
It looks too much like the Dave Grohl Devil from Tenacious D for my taste.
It does a little bit, actually. Good point.
Or Eric.
Sean S., he recommends we consider giving a video game recommendation on each podcast. So I want to throw this out to the listeners and maybe you, Conley. Because we've been doing the B-movie thing. Would people rather have us talk about a video game at that end of the show slot or keep going with the movies? I'm curious. I'm open for feedback.
I'm not a big B-movie fan, so I would prefer the video games. But
why don't we do both?
I'm afraid people are going to be like, this show is ridiculously too long. We could do both. We'll do both this time.
I want to throw my favorite video game of all time, then.
If it's not Star Control 2, we're going to fight.
If it's not what?
Star Control 2, which is the best game of all time.
It's not Star Control 2, but I think this might top it. I don't know if you played this one.
Okay, so keep that in mind. We'll go through our favorite video games at the end of the podcast, and we'll put the B-movie recommendation after that. Let's see. Wolfgang, he agrees, he likes Reassembling Skeleton, Blood Teeth, Ajani's Pride Mate, and Liliana's Caress from M11. Martin S. from the Netherlands has a cool EDH card pick in Memory Plunder. I had to look this one up.
Oh, that card's actually pretty sick.
Yeah, it's cool because it lets you cast... let me actually pull up the actual card text, and we'll explain how this card is sort of strange and what it can let you do. So Memory Plunder, this is from Shadowmoor. It's four of the blue-black hybrid man. I don't remember what the nickname for that one is anymore. You may cast target instant or sorcery card from an opponent's graveyard without paying its mana cost. So as long as the card doesn't have some other restriction on when you can play the card, you can actually cast a sorcery as an instant, because this is an instant spell. So he gave a story where they had a game where pretty much everything was in the bag. He was playing a Rexial deck, and the only card he had was a Memory Plunder. His opponent was attacking with every creature he had to win the game, and he looked in his opponent's graveyard as a Decree of Pain. So he was able to cast a Decree of Pain at sorcery, now instant speed, to swing the game back, and he eventually won that game. It seems like an incredibly fun card if you're playing blue-black. It's very reactive, but it just sounds fun. Have you guys ever tried this one out at all?
I kept meaning to pick up a copy and never did, unfortunately.
I played it in Standard back in the day.
Yeah, really? I was about to say, I used it as a sideboard card for a while.
What was the main target for that as like a standard at that time?
Cruel Ultimatum.
You'd run in your 5-color control deck against opposing 5-color control decks, so you'd like copy their Cruel Ultimatums or their Cryptic Commands or Esper Charms or whatever you wanted.
That's awesome. I did not know that. So I was just kind of going through is Boris from Netherlands, he wrote in a show, we had actually talked a little bit with Eric about when can you start teaching your kids how to play Magic? And, you know, what ages become appropriate where, hey, they might actually enjoy this and they can grasp the mathematics and just the basic principles of the game. He said he has two daughters. One is age 4, one is now almost 7. He said the 4-year-old was a little too young. Basically, she just liked to look at the pictures and didn't like having her cards destroyed, and pretty much that's what you got out of the game. He says a 7-year-old, though, in a lot of ways in a basic deck, was actually a pretty decent player. So he just want to recommend that, you know, maybe 6 and above, not a bad idea. 4-year-old, too young. Gentleman Zombie writes, and apparently he is the guy that created the incarceration multiplayer format that they've been talking about on the Mothership site. So he said he wanted to say thank you for us mentioning it on the podcast. William B., he sends in a conspiracy theory for how they select F&M promo cards. And I have a link in the show notes to his forum post where he has the cards that back this up. And he shows evidence that he feels that they pick F&M promo cards based off of cards that need boob jobs. And cards that he picks for examples are kind of funny.
Wait, cards that what?
That need boob jobs.
Wow, he's actually right.
So he gives examples of Elvish Visionary, which has its boobs have gone from apparently being a guy to a lady with enormous boobs. Next, he has Bloodbred Elf, which it's not quite as shocking, but they're definitely bigger. And just more attractive in general, I would have to say. Because I'd say the original Bloodbred Elf, it was like Sandra Bernhardt. That's always
thing. Yeah, she looks like a girl that's been in a mosh pit for 3 days.
Yeah, kind of got pulled and stretched, and is all melty. He also has Cloud Post, which it does have a bigger boob on it now in its new art.
No, I definitely think that still looks like Dr. Manhattan's testicle.
So I have to agree with the evidence I'm presented. I can't say his theory is wrong. It is a hypothesis that needs to be tested. J.E., he's the one that actually sent in, on the last episode, the zip file of 40 brand new planes used for Plane Chase, which was awesome. He also sent in this week a new custom playing card for me called Pit Imp's Lair. And it's actually a full art playing card. It's a plane, MTG cast. At the beginning of your upkeep, if it is Monday night, target opponent skips his or her next turn to podcast. Chaos. Whenever you roll Chaos, target opponent gains Revenge Crabs until a player planeswalks. A player with Revenge Crabs skips their untap, upkeep, draw, and combat steps.
Aww.
I like that one.
I like it.
And last email I have is... Oh, apparently I forgot to put the... Oh, I think this is actually from somebody I forgot to put this down. Somebody sent me in a red-white Kiln Fiend deck that was very similar to Boros Beatdown. And somebody said they had played this on MTGO and really liked it. And that is all I've got for emails, guys. Anything you have before I move on to our couple of MTGcast news things? Or just one. I actually only have one. The silence says, Tom, you should go on to MTGcast News. And I'm going to do that. So the one and only MTGcast news item I have this week, I want to say congratulations to the Joes from Yo MTG Taps. They apparently are officially now sponsored by Star City Games and will be appearing on Star City Games now on Fridays. So I want to say congratulations. I didn't know about this till somebody else told me about it. And I got a t-shirt from them in the mail, which was very cool. Do you guys have any little announcements for what's coming up for you before we move on to our movie and game recommendations? Conley can't even talk because he doesn't want to forget the game that he's going to talk about.
No, I can't talk because I'm eating pizza.
Oh, okay. That's a good excuse, too.
I'm sipping my delightful coffee, so unfortunately, no.
I think that's a hint that the podcast has gone too long when my hosts have to, like, be eating food on the show to, like, maintain their life sustenance.
No, Tom, it's not that. It's like, it's 12:08 a.m. right here, and if I don't have any Folgers in me, I'm going to, like, fall asleep on my keyboard while we're talking.
Yeah, you're just going to ejaculate sleep spindles. I mean, that's just going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, it would be bad to mid-sentence be like, well, yeah, boom.
I just got a really weird text from Jack here. All right.
What?
So games, guys. Okay, so everybody who's listening just for Magic content, the show's done. We're going into our movie and video game section of the show now.
Wait. Tom, what do you mean you got a text from me?
Well, I said if your head, like, hit the... If you fell asleep, like, at your...
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
All the other ones were, you know, they're just our usual sensual talk to each other. So,
is it disturbing?
Marcel just emailed... He dropped again. He just said he has to have this fixed for next time, and I agree. So, Conley, best game of all time. I'm pretty sure we're going to disagree. What is it?
All right. It's a duo. It's a pair of games.
Okay. You're already disappointing me just with saying that.
No, well, I mean, it's a sequel.
Oh, okay.
Thing. But it's for Sega Genesis, which was an awesome game system back in the day.
Is it Herzog's Wii?
No. The names of the games are Shining Force 1 and Shining Force 2.
Best games of all time for the Shining Force?
Have you ever played them?
I did never play number 2. I played the first one start to end.
It's amazing!
It was amazing.
It has a good storyline. It has good combat. You got little dudes running around the screen. You get to level up your guys. It was, like, awesome.
So did you have a Super Nintendo, or were you a Genesis-only guy?
I never had a Super Nintendo. I had a Genesis, but we were poor, so, like, our Genesis was pretty exciting. We had Sega Channel.
Oh, you actually had that? That was actually, if you think about how far ahead of its time that thing was, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah, Sega Channel was sweet, but we had that. And I remember playing Shining Force on it. And the thing is, no matter, you get 40 games a month on Sega Channel, but you only can have one save between all the games.
Yeah, because basically you had space for one game on the cartridge, right, that you plug the phone line into?
Yeah, effectively. So, like, although you can go and get any game, you only can have one save data. So when I was playing Shining Force or whatever, I would refuse to let my brother save any games because I would have mine saved. And we would have wars over it. But that game was the best. It ate up so much of my childhood.
Have you ever gone back to play it, like, since you've been older?
Yeah, I have it on an emulator on my computer.
Okay, and you still enjoy it? Do you still enjoy it as much now as you did then?
Yeah, it's a little bit worse because I played it 10 times, but it's still pretty good. I mean, like, new games are, like, insane, like Mass Effect and stuff like that I like, but, I mean, it's really hard for these new games to even live up to the old ones just because they wouldn't exist without the originals. So, like, even though the new ones have cooler graphics and stuff like that, like, I'm not really worried about the graphics when I'm talking about these older games. It's more like the storyline and, like, the gameplay itself than the graphics.
Yeah, and that's the way it has to be, because that's what makes the games timeless, because you can't compare, you know, Super Mario Brothers to Super Mario Galaxy, but the gameplay of Super Mario Brothers is what made it arguably one of the best games of all time.
Exactly. I can't believe you don't like Shining Force. You're crazy.
I liked it, but I have to admit I liked, like, Phantasy Star better. That was just kind of my personal preference.
Ooh.
Just where I was. Did you play Phantasy Star 2 at all in the Genesis to compare it to that one?
I have not.
Okay. I'll give you a pass since you haven't played it. How about for you, Jack? Are you a video game guy at all?
Yeah, actually not as much now because of, like, school and everything else that's going on. But my recommendation for best video game of all time, and if either one of you recognize this title, I'm going to e-hug you really hard. Has either one of you ever heard of Planescape Torment for the computer?
Yeah. I mean, that's a... Crazy.
Oh,
kind of a cult hit.
Yeah, sure, somebody else other than me knew this game.
Is that BioWare?
No, that is actually... Yeah, it's actually Black Isle that made it, which is now BioWare.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not really that big of a deal, but Planescape Torment to me, it had so many twists and turns in the plot and, like, where you could go with the storyline and everything, and there was a lot of fun in trying to find out who you were in the game. So for me, like... I mean, even though its predecessor, Baldur's Gate, kind of paved the way for it, like, Planescape Torment has a very special place in my heart. As far as like more modern games, though, I'd probably have to say Silent Hill 2.
Okay. Two?
Yes,
two. You went with two?
Yeah, why not?
Silent Hill 1 is literally the scariest game I've ever played in my life. Way scarier than any other video game. Because it's so realistic. Like, you're like, you have your radio going, you're like, what's going to happen? And then like little dead babies start walking around. Silent Hill 2 is okay, but like Silent Hill 1 was like the foundation for like scary actual game. Like Resident Evil is not that scary. It's got a couple moments where you'll jump. But like Silent Hill, like, the entire time you're playing it, you're creeped out.
Yeah, like, I will absolutely agree with you on that, Conley, but, like, what made 2, like, so great for me was at the very end of it, that last twist at the end of it, and then you go back and you play through the entire game, and you start catching the little things that James says to himself, like, oh, that looks like something Mary wore. And then
don't give it away. It's such a good game.
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm just not going to say it, but, I mean, it for me, it's almost like playing through the game is what made it great.
Yeah, I mean, Silent Hill 1 had some twists, too. Like, it was good. But I like that the fact that the puzzles were actually like difficult. Like the
you had to use your brain.
Remember the Zodiac puzzle? Like I literally could not figure that one out for forever.
Yeah, I mean I totally agree with you. Silent Hill 1 was great. I hate that they've just basically dragged that series into the ground.
Yeah,
like
Silent Hill, the door, whatever it was. I never played that one. I think I stopped
The room. Yeah. 4 either. Yeah, basically, like, after 3, you don't even have to pay attention to the series.
I would agree. I'd say you're right. After 3, it really went downhill, but the one for Wii Shattered Memories is fantastic.
Yeah, I actually picked it up and played it. It was, the story is what kept me involved in that, and that was it.
And just the cool stuff, like, the Wiimote, where you get, like, the scratchy cell phone calls and stuff through it, I thought that was
Cool. But I gotta say, man, I mean, like, the fans, and I can tell from listening to you guys, you enjoy these games. We don't want a revisioning. We want a remake of the original.
Yeah, I'd say yes and no. I mean, at some point, because like they're coming out with like Mortal Kombat 2 is coming out again, pretty much. They're remaking Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
Twisted Metal.
I kind of like re-envisioning just because, like, I mean, when I play these games, I'm playing them because I like them because they're like a book. Like, they're literally telling a story. Like, those are the type of games I like. Sure, I have Call of Duty, you know, and stuff like that, but like those are playing for multiplayer purposes. But when I'm playing a game by myself, I want it to be like a story, like Final Fantasy style.
I mentioned my kind of favorite game of all time, Star Control 2. It came out for the PC. It's actually available now as an open source project where it doesn't have the same name because they don't have the IP rights to it, but it's called the Urquan Masters. It's made by these guys called Toys from Bob. If you ask people, it is an amazing cult hit for the PC, and now you can actually play it for free. Okay, everybody, you survived through a marathon podcast. I was yelling at my co-hosts when they actually were here. It was my side that was breaking down, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, Tom's never actually that nice. He mistreats us when nobody's listening.
Yes. So
in his basement.
You deserve to be beaten for liking Shining Force 1 and 2. That's just ridiculous. I'm sorry.
It's so good. I want some feedback. Come on. Last time we had this debate, I won the Baby Powder Wars, and now I'm going to win the Shining Force versus Poopcraft 1 or whatever you're talking about.
So this is going to be, yes, Poopcraft 1. That's exactly my favorite. It's Leisure Suit Larry's Poopcraft 1. That's my favorite game of all time. So yes, listeners, we have Shining Force 1 and 2, Three Buttons of Fun, versus Star Control 2 on the PC, which is clearly the superior game.
Whoa, you're biasing them now. You can't load the question.
Obviously. Because I know which
Planescape Torment over both of you.
Okay, so we got a three-way. So we got Planescape Torment.
You like my three-ways.
Yes, we want your ejaculation of votes for this. So we want Planescape Torment. We have Shining Force 1 and 2. I'll give you the duo. And then we have Star Control 2. So post in the comments or give us an email. We'll see which one wins. And so thank you for listening. This has been a very... I'd say it's highly unorganized episode of Monday Night Magic. We've been all over the place.
Freaking technical problems, man.
Technical problems up the wazoo. Hopefully, when we get to the editing, you won't even realize it till now, but
we were really due for a bad epi there.
So, yes, when I have... It looks like a dangerous mind on my sheet right now, because I got so many numbers. Like, a dangerous mind meets a beautiful mind, so it's like gangsters with lots of numbers and craziness. That's really why I've got my paper right now. So, thank you for listening. We'd love to get your emails. Join us next week for episode 213, and hopefully we'll be a little bit more organized. I apologize.
Jigga what?
Jigga what? Jigga who?